We're really excited to have on the line this morning Michael Kenneth Smith. He has his latest novel, historical fiction. It's called In the Shadow of Gold, A Tale of the Lost Confederate Treasure. Michael, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
And good morning, and thanks for having me on.
So here's the question. This is what lost Confederate treasure. Where is it? I guess is the question. Where would we start looking for it?
You ask a question a lot of people would like to know the answer to it, but what really happened in April 3rd of 1865, Grant was closing in on Richmond, and the president of the Confederacy, Jefferson Davis, took his cabinet, got on a train, and loaded the Confederate treasure on two cars, and the treasure was consisting of gold bullion, gold pesos, gold double eagles, silver coin. And so he proceeded south on the train trying to elude the Federals. 5.5 weeks later, he was captured and with no trace of the treasure. There's several accounts that the treasure was doled out to soldiers who didn't get paid. However, the theories are all over the map about what really happened to the gold. And a lot of them are still open theories and being followed up today.
Michael, in what form would the gold have been? Would it be bars or coins or what?
It was both. They were gold pesos, gold double eagles, gold bullion in the form of bars. It really was the treasure that the Confederate states had to back up their Confederate dollar. And so, it was back in the time of the gold standard. And so that's the way they set up their currency. And so it was there in bags and kegs. And there also was an additional treasure that was owned by the banks of Richmond. And the banks of Richmond didn't want to get taken over by the federal troops, so they put it on that same train. And it was the same kind of money, a lot of currency, excluding paper Confederate dollars because they weren't worth anything, but they had a lot of gold and silver also.
Talking to Michael Kenneth Smith, the author of the book In the Shadow of Gold, A Tale of the Lost Confederate Treasure. You're a Civil War historian. You write historical fiction. So we got kind of the history part of it. Tell us a little bit of the fiction, the story that you set up to kind of take us through this adventure.
So we started modern day time in 2020 in Michigan, where a rich young couple can't figure out where their wealth has come from. They know that sometime in the long ago past, somebody bought steel and railroad stock, but they don't know where that capital came from. So they hire a sleuth to figure it all out. And as the sleuth digs through and gets some of these answers, we follow it back at the time of it occurred in 1865. So the guy who's very wealthy exposed himself because if the money was actually stolen or taken illegitimately, which is the case here, there might be claims against his own estate. So he proceeded very cautiously. And so when Davis left Richmond, he assigned the guarding of the treasury to 60 young midshipmen from the Confederate Naval Academy. And the story is about one of those midshipmen who thought that he could purloin some of this gold in a systematic way without getting caught, and he did.
Is that Yancey? Yancey
Arvindale? Yes, it is.
Where do you come up with a name like that, by the way?
Well, so Yancey was a Southern first name, and it was popular back then as a first name. So anyway, it's a name that you read and you don't forget real quickly.
Well, that's absolutely true. it really jumps off of the page. This story also has a little bit of a race component to it. I guess when we speak of the Civil War, there's always that, thread and storyline. Tell me how that plays out in this story about the gold.
So as the young man, Yancey, goes south, and each time the train stops, he's figured out a way to take a keg or so and bury it, and then make a map of it and come back and get it later. As he goes south, then we follow the other protagonist in the book, which is a young escaped slave woman who's from Mississippi, and she's wanted for murder, and she flees north. And she's looking for the federal army because she thinks that they'll free her. And so as she goes north and as Yancey goes south, they inevitably meet. And in that description, then we find out how freed slaves, you know, their plight at the time. You know, they were freed by the end of the war, and they left their plantation, which is probably the only place they ever knew. It was where they got fed. It's where they worked. And they were just sort of dumped out on the road, if you will, and they had the, you know, ply for themselves. And they had no skill, no knowledge of the outside world, outside their plantation that they were enslaved at. And so it's also about that and how these people survived and how they died. It's an interesting time in our country's history, because when the war was over in 1865, it really wasn't until 20 years later that Reconstruction started.
When you're doing a book like this, historical fiction and a lot of the Civil War, many times people who are fascinated by the Civil War go through military, the strategies relating to that. What brought you into sort of more of the cultural aspect of it and really the society at that time?
Well, it's an untold story. Frequently, I always think that a good historical novel not only will tell you what happened during the time that it's covering, but also tell you how it felt. So I've always thought that if somebody could read one of my books and be entertained by it, they would also leave with a knowledge of history that they didn't have before. So I like to write about the inside stories of what really happened during the war, and how families lived, how people lived, and how commerce took place, and all those kinds of things.
Are we any closer at finding any of this gold? I know you mentioned there's people that are on a real life level are still kind of looking through something like that. In your kind of research, did it kind of pique your interest in a sense?
So right now, today, I'll just say that a year and a half ago on the History Channel on TV, there was a show about two young men who are spending a lot of money because they think the gold is in the bottom of Lake Michigan. Now, you may wonder how in the heck it got to the bottom of Lake Michigan, but they have a plausible story, and so I guess my point is they're still looking. There's a group from Danville, Virginia, that think that the gold is buried under a cemetery in the town itself, but the city council and the government won't let them dig it up because it will disturb all the caskets and remains that are buried. So these are ongoing theories, and you know, it's like any other thing. Gold and something lost has an attraction that people just dial in on.
Well, you create sort of a cinematic feel towards it. I mean, that's kind of what you do when you're writing your different books, when you put that together. When you're writing in that sense, are you looking in your mind at images, or is it all about words and feeling for you?
Well, that's a really good question. You know, so if I have a scene of several people and they start interacting, they interact on the page and I sort of lose control because one says to the other something and they react. And I really don't know how the scene's going to end, but it ends. And So I let it play out on a piece of paper, and frequently it's a surprise to me. I'll write several pages of a scene and then go back and read it, and I thought, oh my gosh, I wonder where that came from.
Who wrote this, right? That's what you're thinking.
Yeah, who did that?
But that's what makes it, when people are reading it, they kind of immerse themselves into that whole thing. It's called In the Shadow of Gold, A Tale of the Lost Confederate Treasure. Our guest this morning, Michael Kenneth Smith. If people want to get a hold of this book or find out more or maybe go on a treasure hunt, where's a good place to get some good information on this?
First of all, the book is available on Amazon. So in the Shadow of Gold, just Google it, go to Amazon, and press a button. It's available in print and in ebook, and in about a week it'll be available in audio. And so so there you are. It also has reviews in there and everything about that.
Sounds great. No treasure map included, though, right?
There's no treasure map. If I had the treasure map of where it was, I wouldn't publish it.
You wouldn't be talking to me right now. You'd be out there somewhere else with a shovel and everything else.
You got it.
Michael, we appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for getting the story out and sharing it with us this morning.
Yes, sir, and thank you for having me.
Thanks. Michael Kenneth Smith joining us again, the author of In the Shadow of Gold, A Tale of the Lost Confederate Treasure.